focusing on those encounters that people had with Jesus after his resurrection and examining what took place, what was Jesus like, and what happened to those people. And today we pick up the story, the end of John's gospel. Just before this moment, the disciples were out fishing. They'd been fishing all night. They didn't catch anything. And Jesus shows up, tells them to cast their net on the other side. They catch an amazing amount of fish. And then he calls them in, and they have breakfast. It's this beautiful scene of them on the seashore, the Sea of Galilee, enjoying fish and bread and a meal together. And then we catch the next moments here in verse 15. It says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, follow me. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this is a story about failure and restoration. Peter is at the center, and he has experienced what in today's terms would be called an epic fail. You've heard this term, epic fail, right? There are a lot of ways that people play with this. There are a lot of videos and pictures that go up online that show people in the moments of failures. And I have to say, I'm so glad I didn't grow up as a kid with cell phones, so that there aren't those images of me in the midst of epic failures like there are so many others now. And I thought, well, it might be a little fun to play with this and to see a few of those images, not of me, but of some other people we get to play fun with. So, first one, a weatherman with a bad choice of wardrobe. Not sure where his jacket ends and Illinois begins. It's in there somewhere. The next one, I think a track steeplechase moment. And somehow in the footing, just didn't quite get the steps right, and that's gotta hurt. And maybe he's glad his face is not visible at this point, so we don't really know who that is. That's good. Yeah. This one's pretty quizzical. You have to read it for a second. You're getting there. Yeah. How do you make a sign that says, plan ahead, and you don't space it and create it? Oh, it's just crazy. Epic fail. My favorite one here, this last one, this is an epic fail that hasn't quite happened yet. But it sure looks like it's about to, right? Uh-oh. Is the cat really going to go after it? And how's that going to end? Not well. These are silly epic fails, and so often that's what we see online. But when I read this text this morning, Peter's epic fail is no laughing matter. It's serious. It is epic. Epic, a word meaning massive, large, overwhelming. I have to imagine that's how Peter experienced it too. Do you remember his fail? It was just a few days earlier, Jesus was there on trial. And where's Peter? Huddled around a little charcoal fire in the courtyard, warming himself when people begin to ask him, "Hey, do you know Jesus, that guy on trial?" And of course, Peter knows him. He's known him for 3 years. He's one of his closest friends and disciples. But what does Peter say? "No, I don't know him." And a second time, and a third time. All this from the same man who we get in Matthew's gospel was proud and boasting, saying, "Look, if all the other disciples desert you, Jesus, I won't. I'll stick by you." Peter said it. He set himself up as the faithful disciple. And then he said, "I don't know him." Three times. Epic fail. Have you ever experienced an epic fail like that? I imagine for any of us who have lived any length of time, there are probably those moments that we can think back to, a relationship that we destroyed, a betrayal of friendship, or maybe it was a business deal that soured. I don't know what it is for you, but we know what it is for Peter. He's in the midst of that epic fail, and I can only imagine when Jesus reappears, he's wondering, what will Jesus do? How will he react to my betrayal? After all I said and did, "Oh, I'll never desert you, Jesus." But he did. And so we catch the encounter. We catch this encounter, and it begins with this phrase that Jesus addresses him, "Simon, son of John." Now, like in the children's message, that sort of sounds like when your parents called you in because you were in trouble, didn't it? Right? I mean, most time he's been calling him Peter. Simon Peter. Why all of a sudden, "Simon, son of John, get over here"? Kind of sounds like he's in trouble, doesn't it? And I wonder, it's, you know, the limitations of the text. We don't know the tone of voice. We don't know how Jesus was reacting to him, except in how he continues the conversation. It maybe begins tersely, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And here we have what I would could say is for Peter a moment of confession and repentance. It's a moment when Peter has to face up to the betrayals, the denials before Jesus, and look him in the eye. "Yes, Jesus, that was me. That was me who denied you, who betrayed you, but I still love you." And I know it isn't said fully that way, but I think that's at the heart of this conversation. Jesus is allowing Peter the confessional moment to come before him and to say, "Do you still love me? Yeah, you had an epic fail, Peter. It was bigger than everyone else's, it seems. Do you still love me? Because I still love you," is the implied part of Jesus' conversation. "I still want to be here relating to you, Peter. I still am here inviting you back to the relationship. I want to restore this relationship, Peter. Do you love me?" And I want to offer that question to us today, because if I examine my own heart and my own history and those places of my own failures, my sin, my brokenness before God, there are certainly those moments when I want to be like that little boy and hide. I want to hide from what I've done wrong, hide from the pain I've caused others, hide from God. God can't forgive me from this one. Can God? And this passage today, to me, is so encouraging because indeed, it reminds us God does forgive. Even the epic of most epic failures. God says, I do forgive. I am the God of second chances, the God of do-overs and start agains, the God of the reset button. And I think that's what's happening here, why it begins with Simon, son of John, because that's how Jesus and Peter first met. He knew him as Simon, son of John. So he's starting over. Jesus is talking to Peter. Peter, I know things have gone poorly. You've done not so well. Let's start over. It's like all those romantic comedies where the man and the woman meet and hate each other initially, right? And then they start to recognize, oh, they might actually like each other. And so they have to have a do-over moment and say, let's try this again. That's what's going on here between Jesus and Peter. He's saying, let's start over, Peter. And all I can imagine is how Peter must be feeling, recognizing, what? Really? It's possible? We could start over? That's amazing. I didn't think a start over was possible. I didn't think there was a do-over on this one, Jesus. But Jesus says, yes, absolutely. But he doesn't just say, I forgive you. He needs to restore the whole relationship. It's more than saying, I forgive you. It's saying, I forgive you and here's how we're going to go forward. Here's what we're going to do next that shows the relationship is restored, that shows there's trust and hope once more. And so he tells him, he gives him a task. Well, Peter, if you love me, if you really do, if you want to be restored in this relationship and go forward, then I need you to take care of my sheep. Defend for the flock. Take care of those I put into your care. And I know often people look at this passage and say, well, yeah, that was for Peter. You know, he was the disciple of disciples, and that's the way the church began. But I want to offer this. I want to say, Jesus asks the question of you and I as well. When we confess and are honest and we say, Jesus, I'm sorry I messed up on this one. I'm sorry I lied about that. I'm sorry I stole that. I'm sorry I hurt that person. Jesus says, all right, I hear that. I forgive you. And now here's what I want you to do. Tend my sheep. And here's what that means. There are people that God has placed in your life, and you may never have thought about it that way, but there are people, there are individuals that God has given to you to care for. The most natural way we think about it is, as a parent, are there children you care for and raise up? That's a gift. God has given them to you. Grandparents and grandchildren. But it's more than family. Who are the people you work with? Who are your neighbors that you interact with? See, every relationship, every connection you have, every circle of influence you're a part of, those are people God has put into your path and says, I want you to come alongside and to care for them. They're all Jesus' sheep. He's the master shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And we're all the sheep. And then every one of us gets to be the junior shepherd, if you will, an assistant shepherd. And to care for those in our circle of influence, whatever the needs may be, because of our love for God. Because we say, yes, Jesus, I love you, and I'm a mess, and I keep making mistakes, and Jesus says, yep, I know, epic fail. But I forgive you, and I want you to move on and to take care of those around you, because they've had those failures too, and they need to know that they're forgiven and loved. And the way that happens so often is between you and I. I had a conversation years ago with a gentleman. He'd been coming to our church for a while. I didn't know him that well. But one Sunday after church, he pulled me aside and he just began to share his story. He was a Vietnam vet. And there was a deep pain and sadness within him, a guilt, a warrior's guilt. He'd been in combat. He'd been in battle. He knows his weapon killed people. And he felt in that moment, as he shared his story, he said, I just can't imagine God could forgive that. I took those lives. God could never really use me. God could never forgive me enough. That's where he was at. And we had this powerful conversation where I was trying to help him hear, just like Peter. Yes, that was a hard and awful part of your past, but it doesn't limit God. It doesn't limit God from a second chance for you and I. It doesn't limit God from forgiveness and mercy. And God has got something in store for you now. And you could just see this weight lifted as he heard that. And he imagined true forgiveness. More than that, but there was a task ahead. He was called to still follow Jesus. And that's how Jesus ends his conversation with Peter, doesn't he? By saying, follow me. We've hit the reset button, Peter. You love me? Good. Take care of the sheep. Follow me. Keep in your faithful walk and journey as a disciple through the failures, through the ups and downs. There will be more epic fails along the way. It's not if, it's when. But know this, Peter, and Peter, and Peter, and Peter, and Peter, and Peter. That's us too. Know that Jesus forgives and gives us a second and a third and a fourth chance as we continue to love and to follow and to care for all those that we interact with. We have a calling, friends, you and I. It's not just about showing up and hearing a message and singing some songs. It's a calling as disciples to go out. To go out and tend the sheep, following Christ in Christ's ways. If we're doing that, well, those epic fails are a thing of the past. That's our calling, friends, to tend the sheep as we're following him. Let's pray. Gracious God, we don't know all of what it means to tend the sheep. We're sort of humbled by that idea. There are people you put into our paths, people that you're calling us to care for. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to notice the needs and to respond. Help us to be people of compassion and mercy. Help us to share forgiveness and love the way you shared it with us, with Peter, with each of us today. Lord, thank you that we get to be a part of second chances. Lord, lead us today as we go out to be those people caring for the sheep you put into our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we continue in worship. We respond to God's goodness and his forgiveness and mercy in our lives. We do that as we give of our tithes and our gifts, our offering for the day. So come, let us worship.